The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Thanks for tuning in. Whichever way. Kelly and I both appreciate it. Kelly's behind the glass right now because we're making room for the crack man here momentarily. Let me read some tweets here before we get to Billy. One, News Egg. We need a distillation of information and proper capital allocation is what it's all about t-shirt. He tags Brent Musburger. That was what Joe Pita referred to how our draft went. Distillation of information and proper capital allocation. Still skills beyond modeling. This is from Chris Hartman. Gil and Crack, I'm venturing out from the norm next month for dinner spots, Nora's or Esther's. We'll get Crack's opinion on that, but I cannot distinguish between the two. They are both fantastic. Esther's downtown, just get the spaghetti and meatballs, thank me later. Nora's, everything on the menu, great value in Vegas. I could never choose between those two. Fairway Fred, in regards to the drawing time, the drawing tomorrow, Al Cervix says, keep it fair, with a little cash doled out to Brian Doyle Murray from Caddyshack in 1980. That's such a great scene. And then this is from, and actually this I probably should segue into Crack with this, which I will. Razorblade, you guys always complain about draft betting in Nevada. Good luck getting more than $10 down in your own name in the rest of the country. Well, you're right. There is that. Without further ado, unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. What up, Billy?
How we doing?
You look great, man. What's this new outfit you got?
No, just a little colorful. I'm in blue today. I don't know. It just makes me look a little big.
No, you look fantastic. Look, a little color in your life there.
I'm not that. I never wear colored things.
No.
You know, big guys don't realize they go out and they let me get this white shirt.
Oh, it's not slimming. In other words,
it looks like you can covers a 757 jumbo jet. Like you know.
But, great seeing you yesterday at DeMarco.
That was fun. A lot of big names in the industry there. Future Hall of Famer here, Jeff Whitelaw. Let's see, who was at my table there? It was great. You were over there with us.
Randy McKay
over there.
Your buddy Rick was there.
Rick Fezzik.
Fezzik was there.
Fez, the man, and Jim Feist.
Matt Humans, Wes Reynolds,
yeah.
And a who's who.
Yeah.
Scott Spreitzer,
yeah.
It's good hanging out with folks.
Nice. Just see the guys as a friendly environment. And by the way, I think the food's great there.
Food was fantastic.
The food's great there.
She came over and she said, what would you like? I go, whatever that man's having, pointing at you.
Yeah, that's an off the menu thing now. It's their penne alla vodka, but they have crumbled sausage mixed in.
Fantastic. Dom DeMarco's is what we're referring
Albert,
to.
Yeah.
Dom DeMarco's in Summerlin.
Yeah, it was great. So just walking in here now, we had a plethora of people outside talking and meeting some of the people. And one guy I know from back east is here, and he just told me a great story about a ticket that he found, $300 ticket that he found. But he told me multiple ones, actually. Not only a ticket that he said that he had a slot ticket. So a slot ticket, put it in his pocket, and they came and knocked on his door in his hotel room. They literally reverse engineered everything, found, obviously a lady complained that she lost her ticket. And or left it in the machine, and just so happens that he's a gambler. He doesn't go around looking for tickets.
Right.
And he's seen it in there, and they came, knocked on his door, and requested the ticket back. He gave it back to them, you know. But
So he just saw it and picked it up. He took it.
Yeah. And he mentioned that before. He goes, you know, one other time I found a voucher in a casino, and security came over to me, you know. And I think we've said that right here in the space.
Mm-hmm.
Do not. Take ticket. If you see ticket in the casino, if you see one of those tickets, I don't care if it's 50 cents, 30 cents, I just leave it there.
Bill, I just want to suggest to you that we have someone who might be working on the show today, who might be here present, who for a little period of time in his existence.
That was his job.
That was he kind of decided he wanted to do that, and we cautioned him. We said, hey, so-and-so. You might not want to do this.
Yeah.
And eventually security told him. Yeah.
This guy told me two incidents the reason why this all came up, by the way, why did I say this now? He just found $200 chips.
Just now we found more.
Someone left $200 chips at the slot machine. And
okay, I like what you say, found. He's like, oh, look, chips.
Someone just left the $200 chips at the slot machine.
By the way, you and I have talked about this too before.
Yeah.
I don't have the gene or whatever it is in my DNA where I simply leave something and then I meander about thinking that it's going to still be there when I come
back. Right.
But some people do.
That's how it came up, though. He found $200 chips, and we started talking about other things, and he said, yeah, you know, this happened to me before, and they actually came and knocked on my door, and he said the one female security was you know, really mad at him, but the guys were like, yeah, just give it in. We appreciate it. Usually a lot of guys go out on the board. It was Atlantic City. A lot of guys go out on the boardwalk with it, and you'll never see them again. But we appreciate you giving it back, and you're allowed to still stay in your room. So, but yeah, that's interesting that these things happen.
What does he say? Does he just go, yep, I took it. Here you go.
He gave it right back.
And they said, okay, you can stay in your room.
Oh, yeah, but I'm telling you now, you understand now, it's not only the internal, it's you're robbing the state, because all unclaimed tickets and monies goes back to 75% to the state, 25% to the casino, depending on which jurisdiction.
Damn.
I personally found a $100 bill at Hard Rock when it was Hard Rock once. I regret till this day giving it to security. It was an issue, me giving the $100 bill to security. It was right by the cage. I said, you know, let me just give this $100 bill. I told security about it. And security got mad at me that they had to fill out paperwork.
You know what I found at the Hard Rock when I used to stay there? Like a syringe in between the cushions of the couch in my room.
That's terrible. Lucky you didn't get stabbed with it.
That's the Hard Rock back in the
Jesus.
Day.
Jesus.
I want to ask you a question, because someone just responded to this. So the NBA draft was yesterday. I'm curious your opinion on this. Mm-hmm. And so... You know the reticence that these books do not want to book this stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to book the NFL draft, but the NBA draft is such a, you know, it happens so close to the end of the playoffs, and if you blink, you miss it, right?
That's right.
So a lot of these books sort of take this approach of, we're going to ride this through and act like it's not happening. We're not going to book anything at all. Or they say out loud to those of us who happen to be in the book, they say, yeah, there's just not enough interest in it. We're not going to book it. They actually say this kind of thing, right? And in the end, what you find is, like last night, besides the first four picks, they probably would have made money.
Sure.
Right? And so they are. And by the way, a couple of the last NFL drafts, they probably would have made money. So they had the experience of losing a lot on these drafts some years ago. All of us made out on drafts, NFL or NBA. The Paolo Banchero moment.
Banchero. That probably put him over the top.
That probably put him over the top. So that's what I was going to get to. Do you think it's just the muscle memory for them? Because obviously, I mean, you can't have a loss leader. You can't have one thing where you just give an olive branch out to the players, like, oh, this is a different way where they might have an opportunity to win, even though they're as likely to lose sometimes too, right?
I think it's harder now. So it's funny you're talking about. I said, in general, I said how hard it is. It's one of my notes that I put down. How hard it is to win betting sports today. And you think there would be a little bit smaller limits. Listen, here in Nevada, they were really protected, too. They didn't even take bets the day of the draft.
By law, you're not allowed.
By regulation,
right.
Back east, you could bet up till draft time.
Right.
So it's amazing what makes these rules. Like, how did they come up with the rule in one jurisdiction and not the other jurisdiction? It's just, it's totally crazy. And that's what leads me into one of my subjects about how I wouldn't recommend this for anyone now. Professional betting. This isn't 20, 25 years ago. And let's face it. In the 90s, late 90s, this was stealing. It was stealing because lots of the sports books had bonuses offshore. They had ridiculous matching bonuses and stuff. The sports books here in town, there was four times as many sports books as there are now. You know, when I first started coming to town, that was early 90s, you had 30 places to bet. Now, what do you have, six? I mean, there's six companies that really dominate the town. I just don't know how anyone can make a living. People ask it all the time. And you know, I was going to save this for a couple weeks from now. Let's do it now. So it's the time of the year. People say late June. Grandma, mom, dad, I'm heading out to Vegas, going to do an Airbnb, and I'm going to be there football season. I'm going to make my living in Las Vegas. I want to come out and start to learn this professional gambling racket. And they try it every year. They come out late August. Usually if they make it till Christmas it's a success.
Yeah.
When they're calling home and they're saying, Grandma, you have space in the basement because I'm coming home. And can you give me the money for the airline ticket or the bus ticket home? It happens every year. And mm-hmm. people text me and ask me. And I don't recommend it for anyone. It's so hard. You have to have positive information, winning AP information, positive play. And guess what? If you do that, you're still going to get limited, banned, thrown out, looked upon. I probably can't name a sports book in this town that actually embraces my action. That actually says, oh, yeah, Bill, come on in and bet with us. Yeah, nice to see you. You want a comp or a drink or you want something? Want something to eat? They come off nice to me, though, yeah. Some of them. But, you know, there's other ones that don't. You know, the Caesars, Stations, they hate me. They want me dead. But, you know, all I'm doing is using my brain. I'm not cheating or anything, just using your brain. But they don't embrace me, and I'm out there in media a little bit on social media. And, you know, if they're not embracing me, what shot do you have coming to town? And God forbid you win something with no voice, you know?
Yeah, but it's the only life you and I know, and so it's not going to change us.
I'll be betting until I'm dead.
Yeah.
As long as I got people I trust that could beard in.
And by the way, you have an experience. We won't mention the experience, but you've had the experience within the last 24 hours where something like this happened.
Yeah.
You know? So
I'm not going to get into it.
No, we're not going to get into it.
No, it just aggravates me about certain things and this is the stuff you deal with. Like I said it before on the space, you deal with 10 pounds of crap in a 5-pound bag every day. People think that's so glamorous. What great lives you guys have. And there's a lot of juggling, a lot of things you have to do, a lot of skill sets.
I want to add something to this after the break. Bill Krakenberger Unscripted right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Looking for a more exciting way to bet? It's called Xcuta.com. That's spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. And it's the future of futures wagering. It combines the adrenaline of a live auction with the strategy of sports betting or fantasy picks. It's easy to use and it works for any sport. Over 1,000 teams, players, golfers, and drivers. Xcuta is adaptable to any sport, even horse racing. And it's free to sign up. You pick who you want to bid on, customize your own auction, set your winnings, invite your friends to play. You can even create auctions for free. Xcuta has free auctions every day at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Send an email to support@xcuta.com. Mention VSIN, and they'll give you a 3-month player promo code to get started. Xcuta is a sports Calcutta. Again, that's xcuta.com. X-C-U-T-T-A. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciated from everybody. Best listeners in the game, Chance Copperpot. Oh, this is a good one, Billy. You can only choose one contest with one free entry. Which one? I say millions over Survivor. That's Chance saying that. But draw my name for Survivor so I can come and buy a couple of millions entries when I'm down there. I got a chance. By the way, I don't know if you know this, Bill. We're giving away, Kelly and I, a free winnerscircleproxy.com, courtesy of them, a free Circa Millions entry tomorrow and Circa Survivor entry. We have thousands of folks who are trying to get this free entry. So what about the question? He thinks one entry, he'd go millions over Survivor. You?
He's a good guy, that guy.
He
always gives good questions. And I'll just tell you, thinking about the EV of it, you know, the value of I would say right away, probably millions, but that's not fun. Not as fun as Survivor. Survivor's every week. So for the value, and if there's going to be an overlay, you probably want to do millions. However, Survivor is just that's the one everyone wants to get in.
Yeah.
That's the one that everyone wants to get in. So I'll probably agree what he says.
We were doing year two of that Survivor documentary, Shalansky is.
Yeah.
And I provided them with some stats, first 3 weeks in the history, in the 5-year history of Circa Survivor. And it's just fascinating. Remember, after 3 weeks, the last 3 years, I want to get this right. So 2022. After 3 weeks, 74.7% of entries were knocked out.
Wow.
2 years ago, 2023, 68.3% of entries were knocked out after the first 3 weeks. And last year,
last year,
95.5% of the entries were knocked out after the first 3 weeks. Amazing.
And we came on air talking about next year, and we were all jaded. I'm like, I'm not signing up for this freaking thing. You know, like,
well, you were, but I'm like, people are going to play.
People are going to play. I know. Now, of course, we're getting close. And, you know, being last night with some of the advantage gamblers in town or yesterday, and in general, I couldn't believe that one of the guys that was over there, I'm not going to say it on air, one of the guys that were over at Dom's says he's getting two entries in the $100,000 contest.
Is he really? Yeah.
Yes.
Is he part of a group in both of those?
In one, he's on his own, and the other one, he's going to be part of a group.
Really?
Yeah, I was shocked.
Okay, so we're talking about the Grandissimo, right? Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah. How many entries do you think there'll be in that?
And it's funny, he's listening now, and he actually put the over-under on how many do you think would be. He said 25 and a half is over-under.
That was kind of around where I used to say it, too. Yeah. I said 30 and a half or 20 and a half, somewhere in there.
Give me the under, 30 and a half.
Under on 30 and a half, max bet for you.
Yeah, for a good bet.
But yet, here he is, and he's like, yeah, I got two.
My buddy from South Carolina is getting in. He's coming in with the money. I mean, he's coming in.
I mean, there's three right there.
Yeah, there's three right there. I mean, and then we have another guy that offered me and one of my partners offered us a sick free roll. So that if this all happens, There's gonna be more than 30.
Wasn't the most surprising thing? I think we lost sight of this detail. When PASPA was ruled unconstitutional in 2018, the biggest thing that surprised us, and I'll throw us together, you could tell me if I'm wrong, but I remember that what surprised us was how many randos, not talking about your buddies, but how many randos would throw lots of money around making bets. So just random people who would like show up at the South Point with bags of,
you're right.
You remember? And so you're right. I remember our reaction was, I never really anticipated that there were so many people that had, by the way, I'll say all this disposable income, maybe my definition of disposable is different from theirs. Right.
Of course.
But so when we get to Grandissimo now, $100,000 entry, by the way, for those who missed it, it's its own Circa Survivor contest. I don't know. You tell a story like that, maybe it's going to be way more than 30.
You're probably right. Maybe I would back off on my bet there because I don't realize, you know, just because I'm a grinder. Yes, I'm a grinder. I'm going to lose, like I said, 43 out of 100, but I'm a grinder. Even though I'm betting a lot of money on things, doesn't matter. I still have grinding ways where I'm a grinder. So I just think that everyone grinds, and that's not the case. There's a lot of these Bitcoin idiots out there. I'm not saying they're all Bitcoin. They're actually Bitcoin geniuses, but there's a lot that are just have so much Bitcoin because they just ran into luck and they think they're geniuses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's just like anyone in the stock market. A lot of guys think that they're responsible. They're geniuses. What they've done the last.
Well, Stephen A. Smith thinks he's the greatest sportscaster of all time because they're throwing $20 million a year at him. That's all the evidence he needs.
That's right. So, again, like everyone made money. That's just in any kind of stocks, you know, the last 10 years. But, however, they have not experienced that market where it just crashed and everything goes down. They have a day or two, but granted, I'm happy for them. I mean, I've actually made a few bucks too myself, but nothing like everyone else. I'm not into cryptocurrency. I probably should have been. I had great opportunities. I have a friend of mine that has 76 coins that you'd never know. He has 76 coins. Like he doesn't live his life like that at all. You know,
76
coins. He's bought my last three cars. Like he said, when you're ready to trade your car and just call me, I'll take the car. I'll buy it for whatever they're going to buy it for. And that's going to be his car. He doesn't realize that how much money he has. He doesn't realize he doesn't treat it like that. Good for him. But
hope he doesn't forget his password.
Yeah. Yeah. No, isn't that scary? That's, you know, it is scary. These cold storage, hot storage. I don't know. But anyway, so I'm not thinking about all of these Bitcoin guys. There's a lot of money out there. There's a lot of money out there. And we could be wrong and they can.
Listen, you know what I've definitely learned? Yeah. You're going to go broke underestimating Derek Stevens's genius on these things.
Yes. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
He's pretty tapped into what's going
to
happen
and talking to people. And before anyone starts ranting, though, I'm not upset. I'm just saying, like, I just know that there's a lot of people out there and you know, that have a lot of money. But people say, oh, you're mad about them. No, I'm just saying that they have a lot of money out there. I think they well deserved it, what they did. They got lucky in life or even they're smart enough to invest in stuff.
It's like anything, right? It's like you're not resentful. Like during a real estate boom, right? People who like own title companies think that they're geniuses, right? They're like, look at me, I'm making tons of money.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which.
Yeah.
Boy. I got someone around me. He's a nice man. He's an older man. I hang around with all the guys that are older than me. Matter of fact, Jerry Eisenberg just called me before I went on here. 95-year-old Jerry Eisenberg just called me driving in today. 94-year-old Don Elbaum over in my other buddy, boxing promoter, Boxing Hall of Fame. I'm going to see him in a couple weeks in Erie, Pennsylvania. My friend Paul, who owned the casino in town here, you met him yesterday. He owned many restaurants and stuff. 83 years old. This is the gang I hang around with. But so I forgot where I was going with the story. There was an important thing about
Jerry Eisenberg. Every time you bring him up, I think of Ring Magazine.
Oh yeah,
I think of Bert Sugar and I think of Jerry Eisenberg.
I got to meet Bert before he died. Yeah, gave me a nice autographed hat. Really cool.
You don't remember where you were going with that with Jerry?
No, I don't. Okay. But I mean, I was going. There was an important part of it that I was saying, but I forget. But I'll get into this real right now. That's unbelievable. Last night, where I went to dinner. So I went to dinner with Kenny Mayne last night. Remember Kenny from ESPN?
Oh, yeah. Remember Kenny Mayne with the Joe Montana thing?
Joe Montana, of course.
We caught passes from Joe Montana.
Yeah, we caught passes from Joe Montana that day. So Kenny was in town. I went to dinner with him last night over at Golden Steer. And I got into Golden Steer, nostalgic, walking in there. It's like, oh, my God, these are the booths that different people. Yeah. I sat in a booth that said Baxter on it. I was like, Baxter? Well, that's not Billy Baxter. Yeah, sure it is. So Billy Baxter's booth yesterday. I just had a great conversation with him a couple weeks ago. But let me just tell you, the steak I had last night, I will not be going back to Golden Steer.
Really?
I love the place. And like I said, it's such a cool place. Tuxedo clad waiters and, you know, flaming desserts.
On Sahara, right off the strip.
The steak is just nothing special. And they bust you out. They hit you over the head.
It's a bust out joint, Billy.
I mean, and they treat it like it's so hard to get in there and get a reservation 6 months ahead of time. Listen, I talk about good and bad about everything. I love Joe's. I think Joe's is one of the greatest steaks in town. I like Peter Luger's. I like Cut. I still like some of the old-fashioned steakhouses that are around, but I thought Golden Steer last night was just no good. The steak was just, I had a ribeye. Just how can you mess that up?
You know what I miss? Same little strip mall there. The Hummus Grill that used to be right next to that.
Oh, is that gone?
It's gone. Me, you, and Wishnev went there, remember?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, man.
I was the only one who spoke English in there.
I used to go in there, bust out the Hebrew, and talk about Wishnev behind his back. Couldn't understand me.
Also in that parking lot, people don't know, the Gold Rush right next door. That's right. Tony Spilatro's old place, Nicky Santoro from the casino. That's where the jewelry store was, right where Allura is there. Yeah.
No Krackenberger. Leads a good life.
Yeah.
More with Crackman, unscripted on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets of beating the book. Last name, Nash. Paolo Banchero. Oh, you're repeating what I was saying the other day. Paolo Banchero going number one in the NBA draft will always go down in history as one of the best days for sports gamblers and the worst day of Woj's career. Yeah, Kelly and I talked about this the other day with Will Hill as well. Each one of us has had bigger, perhaps, hauls in terms of our own personal betting, but in terms of a sports betting case study versus what the mainstream media thought, that day will certainly go down in history. And we both...
We were on air when he said when Woj said, you know.
Scott, New York Mets 16. Speaking of non-slimming colors, purple is my favorite color, he says. But as a polo, it made me look like Barney. Also, penne alla vodka is the way to go, he says, for those positives.
I like purple. I actually like the color purple. But, if you're wearing it in a pullover, you look like one of the Fruit of the Loom grapes.
By the way, I think that's, you know what? I don't think they're... What was the Fruit of the Loom one where it's like the Mandela effect? People think a certain fruit was in there that wasn't.
Oh, really?
And it might be the grapes. I'm not sure. Bobby Geddes, I meant to go to VSiN Picks yesterday around 1 p.m. Eastern and tail all the draft bets from the show that still had reasonable numbers. I forgot. Good thing your show only went like 109-7. I would have had FOMO if you guys and guests actually did good. Coach, I'm sorry about that, Bobby. Coach Brian, please ask Bill if he agrees or disagrees with the views that making a living on sports gambling is easier in 2025 because it's not limited to Vegas and offshore books. Thanks. Interesting question.
If it's easy, I think it's much harder.
Yeah.
Because of the bonuses and stuff. Like, you know, DraftKings and FanDuel in the beginning were matching deposits, giving away, and the offshore industry back in the late 90s when you had Net Teller were giving away tens of thousands just for a start. So I think it's much harder now. And
because those promos don't exist.
They don't exist. And these sports books are so fast to limit you now. Or not even take your bets.
So that's what I wanted to clarify. What I forgot to get to it last segment. But so first of all, there's the hint. There's no promos and bonuses like there were. That's the first layer. The second layer is just from a handicapping perspective. You always have to, for this is for newer bettors, you also have to adapt through the year. So in the Joe Pete and I were talking about this a decade ago. I was beating baseball. We were laughing about this a couple days ago via text. I was beating baseball using like ERA minus FIP, fielding independent pitching. If I knew about XFIP and BABIP, I was like a PhD in sabermetrics. Now everybody knows that stuff. The books know that stuff, right? So first of all, from a handicapping standpoint, you have to adapt, right? So that's why I go from baseball then to tennis, and who knows, maybe that'll have to turn into something. You always have to adapt from a handicapping standpoint. But then the layer that Bill is talking about is the real sort of kick in the behind. That even if you are successful, right, then the game is rigged against you.
And what about, Gil's talking about beating baseball, and what about there's not even 10-cent lines in this town anymore?
Right.
You can't find a spot here in town.
It's brutal.
Minus 120, come back 110. You can't even find a spot in this town. By the way, even the offshore world, the Pinnacles, the different, they used to be minus 103 on both sides, yeah. minus 104 on both sides. That's all, everything has changed now. So it's all rigged against you. It really is. And it's a strong street word. I don't mean rigged like fixed, so don't come on that. But, you know, it's the margins. I use this word all the time. We've conditioned all the society, anyone that's new the last 7 years, 8 years, they're used to these wide margins of money lines on the sports books that came to the country. And now when Vegas decides to go that way, it shocked me. I had two places last year that had 10-cent lines here in town. You know, again, they break around 150, come back 140. Now they start, as places in this town that start minus 120 even. So I know it doesn't sound like no big deal, and all the kids that are new to this, oh, yeah, that's the way it is, right? Yeah, of course. And but it is, if you're a professional, if you're making money at this, those little 5 and 10 cents make a giant difference. So that's another more reasons why I wouldn't recommend anyone try to bet for a living. I mean, look at the money lines are absolutely terrible. You have to have plenty of outs. You have to have plenty of money spread out. You have to keep yourself alive in the sports books. Don't get thrown out of stations. Don't get thrown out of William Hill like me.
And that's the other thing with all your accounts, too. You got to play the game where you don't get thrown out. You got to throw in some bad bets here and there. So there's a whole art to that as well. By the way, that's why I bring up the draft stuff, which is okay. And then an event comes along like a draft, NBA, NFL, whatever. And as a bettor, you're like, oh, well, this will be fun because it's a different way. Maybe we can win on this. And then most of them are like, yeah, we're not going to offer that.
Listen, another thing too, you know, one of those guys in the room yesterday is an older man and is a nice man. He was playing some college baseball totals, which are a hot thing to play. So he bet 1,000 on three. He just opened up an account. He said, "Oh, all right, I'll play some of these totals you guys are playing. Not me per se, but he deposited 5,000 in a book. He bet 1,000 on three college baseball totals, and they threw him out. They stopped his betting and limited him to $1. Here's the point of bringing this up: he goes to cash in, can't cash your money out. You can cash out the 3,000." But you can't cash out because you didn't roll your money over. He didn't get no bonus or anything. Jeez. All he's saying, I didn't even take a bonus. He said, well, if you don't roll your money over, then it's money laundering. Well, really? You limited me to $1. We're going to bet $2,001 plays to roll the money over?
Oh, my God.
No, I mean, these are the little, you know, the hurdles. And I like to say these things out there, and I like to be the voice of the little guy, too, because, you know, and sooner or later it's going to get me in trouble, but I don't care. I mean, get me in trouble. What are you going to do, throw me out and hit me with your backpack or eraser? Jesus.
That's Bill's impression of a nerd. By the way, just call me Skip is mad at me. He says, what do you mean you're not going to get into it? You brought it up. Oh, because it's not my story to tell. What he's referring to is I brought up that even in the last 24 hours, some stuff has happened to Bill. It's not my story to tell. If it was my story to tell, I would. This is, let's see, New York. No, I rather Chris Heath. Even in Reno 15 years ago, there were more than six outs all within walking distance. Then William Hill started buying people out. Hey, Joe Asher back in the gambling world.
I buried him yesterday.
Joe Asher to Brian Musburger. You tell that blank and Gil Alexander. Stringfellow Hawk, here's speaking of what you're speaking of. At what level are you a professional? What's the percentage breakdown of it is a great question. What's the percentage breakdown of professionals killing it, breaking even, or barely hanging on?
The end of it's interesting.
Yes, all of that's interesting. We've talked about it before in forms. For me, and see if you agree with this, that the term professional applies to those who derive all of their income from sports betting. We agree on that as the definition?
Sure. Sure.
Which would make me not a professional because obviously I have a job here, right? Yeah. So we've always sort of limited it to that definition of people.
I'm making money in media too. I mean, I'm making money with, you know, between Fox, Pocket. But I got to be honest with you.
You're still a pro bettor.
It's nothing like I make in professional gambling.
Yeah.
Professional gambling, I'm claiming into my taxes every year. I have to. This year is a very unusual, year. I file an extension, so I don't do it till September. But this year is going to be a very unusual year. I ran pretty lucky with promotional things and just hit some video poker jackpots. Were dealt some 600,000 to one hands. I mean, so this year it's going to be really hard to write off my losses as far as video poker. Usually video poker I can write off about 80%. This year I can't write off 50%. So you pay tax on that. You have to pay tax on your gambling win. It is what it is.
Well, whether we are or not, whether you are or not, most people don't have jobs in the media. So that's pretty much the definition that we would use normally. No one's saying you're not a professional bettor.
Yeah.
I'm just using it to clarify. But the second part of that question, of course, is interesting, which is what's the percentage breakdown of professionals killing it, breaking even, or barely hanging on?
From strictly, maybe the last thing you said, barely hanging on.
But from strictly sports betting, what do you think we've talked about this before. Forget percentage. Number of people who consistently year after year after year after year win money.
Wow.
That's a small number.
You're putting it year after year after year.
Yeah.
Very small.
Because there's always a roadblock.
Very small. By the way, people think they win. It's like people that count cards. They think they win.
Yeah.
Some people. And say, oh, yeah, I can count cards. I'm winning. You, if you really kept a good journal of what you do every day and not have any of those, when you fall off the wagon a little bit and maybe bet something more when the count goes down. The same thing with sports betting. You have to have all those skill sets. And if you think you win and then you go off playing live on the Sunday night game, well, I mean, you're cutting into your positive VV or your percentage. I think that, again, as you always say, too close to the sun. I think there's not a lot of people making a living.
That's why we try on this show, right?
Yeah.
That we try on this show to approach sports betting in a way that gives you a better shot at it than most. And so hopefully to the extent that we're able to succeed in that, then we've done our job. Ryan Hyatt, fact, one of the smartest things you can do in life is to have several friends who are significantly older than you are. No substitute for experience and wisdom, even if we sometimes ignore it. Great stuff again today.
Wow, very good.
From Bill and Gil.
But you can see I'm the one that's older. I forgot where that subject was going before.
And Kelly, he adds on. I had to put show more before I got to Kelly. Brett Lidka about Grandissimo. He says, the big survivor, 99.5 entrance, juice to the over, he says. My small town in upstate New York has been doing survivor pools well before Circa, and more than half the pool asks every year to up the ante. Yeah, but $100,000 a
Wait,
pop.
99.5.
He said 99.5 entries, I think he's saying.
Wow. No, give me the under for a giant number.
Oh, man. And then Get the Money Racing. Gil, if I win a free entry for the contest, can I trade to spend a full day with Crackman? Absolutely you can. You don't have to get any advice from me. Just a day with a Crackman. We'll give it to you. That's what you want. We'll come back. More with Billy. At Bill Crackman with a K, Wise Cracks with John Orlando. John Orlando was there yesterday,
too. Oh, John was there, too.
Met John Orlando.
Tony Orlando called in.
And Tony Orlando, we actually had a little video of Tony. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, let's recap all the bets on today's show, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Let's see. We had Zach Cohen on. He had some bets for us as well. Greg Peterson was on with a plethora, with a cornucopia of bets, if you will. It's all brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Every show, every host, every guest, every bet and every sport recapped at the end of each and every show. Zach, Vikings, NFL, over 8.5 wins. Bill giving the thumbs up to that one. Vikings to win the NFC, 16-1. Vikings to win the Super Bowl, 33-1. He's all in on the Minnesota Vikings. And a couple Coach of the Year calls. Liam Cohen, 14-1, Coach of the Year. Duval. You remember how he said that? It was terrible how he said that. Dave Canales, 18-1, coach of the year as well. So Zach coming strong in the NFL betting guide, which drops July the 1st. That is just 5 days away. Those are a couple of Zach's picks, but everybody here at VSiN has picks abounding in that. Greg Peterson, Greg Hoops Peterson, welcome back to the show, baby. Mets money line today. Royals Rays under 10. And he's also got the Rays on the money line in that ball game. And then he's going under in the Blue Jays Guardians game, under 8 in that particular ball game. All of our best bets brought to you by GBank, as I mentioned, where there is now a trifecta in full effect, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit, and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Can't wait for tomorrow where Kelly and I will give out, we will reveal, we will do a drawing. Thousands of entries that signed up before yesterday's deadline, courtesy of winnersproxy.com. We are going to have a drawing, one Circa Millions free entry, one Circa Survivor free entry. Kelly will pull out from that, from a literal hat, because we'll do a randomizer that'll reduce it to 10. Kelly will pull out the winner of the Circa Millions free entry. I will do so for Circa Survivor. That's on tomorrow's show.
How did they get in?
They entered.
Oh, they entered?
Yeah.
Digitally?
They went to a website, yeah, and did so.
I don't trust digital drawings.
It was.
I want a paper drawing. Yes, I want to be able to crimp my ticket and fold the corners and put your hand in a barrel.
Winnerscircleproxy.com. Getting it done. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Big Kahuna, who says, can Bill have an over-under on name drops? I will take over 1,000 names in 30 minutes. Good grief. Yeah, but Big Kahuna, you have to realize, this man.
You understand, this guy is one of the guys that haunts people for always. He's an idiot. So you shouldn't even, if I knew you were going to mention his name, I wouldn't even have gave him no press.
I apologize. Another
telephone tough guy. I'm here every week, buddy.
Here's the thing, telephone tough guys like that. But I would just say, Big Kahuna, the man worked at Pinnacle. The man has been in this industry. And know some of the greats, you almost have to fight back to not mention these
names. I
gotta
be blunt. On my mother and father's grave, I don't even know who I name dropped today. I don't know what I said. I just talked about things in life. Don't do me a favor. Block that idiot.
Larry Fresh. It's the cornucopia and the Fruit of the Loom logo. Yes. This is the Mandela effect. The Fruit of the Loom one was people thought there was a cornucopia in the Fruit of the Loom commercials. There never was. Mandela effect. Don't let him get to you, Bill.
They all listen, Gil, no matter what.
And they hang on every word.
Yeah. Let me talk about an ice pick real quick.
Oh, please.
Oh, so the guy yesterday, because this Kahuna guy got me thinking about the ice pick.
Yeah.
So
thank you, Kahuna.
When we were sitting last night,
yeah.
The manager comes over, and he knew Kenny Mayne. So he's talking to Kenny, and he said, you know, Brian knows what it's. Brian and Russ Axelrod, Brian, you know where you're sitting, a guy came in here where the door used to be right here. A guy came in last night. A guy came in at one time and he stabbed and killed someone right near your seat with an ice pick. I was like, wow, that's nice.
Anyway, have a good meal.
Yeah, have a nice meal. So I was like, wow, you're kidding me. Like,
that's great.
I couldn't believe that someone, the place has some really color to it. It has some nostalgia. Maybe the steak wasn't that good, but people that were in there that got killed with ice picks right in the joint.
God bless Vegas for that. There will never be a place with that kind of character.
Yeah. It was right there where someone got stabbed right in that seat in that booth.
Yeah.
And it with an ice pick. And wow. You know, that happened in Giancarlo. I can't think of his name right now. Rizzi. The guy that played Carlo on The Godfather. He had a club in town and he killed someone in his club with an ice pick. So it's kind of interesting when someone said that to me last night and just thought of it.
Let's see a whole bunch of questions for everybody. Michael Salvino, I don't know if you want to reveal this. He said, where was that gentleman at that crack mentioned who got thrown out betting college baseball totals? Sorry if I missed it.
That was down at Dom DeMarco's yesterday where we were.
Oh, I think he meant what book.
Oh, what book?
I think that's what he meant.
You know what? I don't even know the book that it happened. It happened here in town, though. I'll tell you right now. But it could happen at Caesars. It could happen. I really don't know what book it was. So I really shouldn't throw Caesars under the bus there. But any chance I get to throw Caesars under the bus, I will. So.
Cancer-free from stage four. NHL since May. Some of my fondest Vegas sports betting memories took place when Stardust and Riviera Sportsbooks were literally across the street from each other. You could cross Las Vegas Boulevard and in 20 seconds go from one book to the other and get an extra half point from it. Yeah, man, those days are over.
Those four corners, when I first came to town, you had Bellagio. Well, no, it wasn't Bellagio. It was actually the Dunes. You had four different sports books there. Then that four corners on Flamingo and Las Vegas Boulevard, Caesars, Barbary Coast, Bally's. In back of Bally's, you had two other books there, too. And I just, there was a little casino, Bourbon Street. It was called Bourbon Street. I think there was the maximum back of that. That was amazing. You used to run around, and you know, this is literally before, unless you had that big handheld cell phone that they had on the movie Wall Street, and the sun's going down. And, you know, but yeah, that was an amazing time. You could find middles between the sports books. The payphone banks were jammed at all times. It was an amazing time. It was a glorious time. It really was.
Blue Horseshoe loves whatever on that. Anacostia. Phone in Wall Street. Yeah.
Yeah. Great movie. It's a great, absolute great movie. Yeah, you know, it's funny because speaking of Kenny again, so last night we were talking about parlay betting. He came up at the booth. I got to be honest with you. Two of these guys at the table, they like to bet little parlays. But Kenny said something that was great right away. He said, well, it's fun. It's entertaining to bet, you know, a little $10, $20, mm-hmm. 8-teamers. And I actually said, I mentioned on this show, the show I'm doing tomorrow, I've mentioned before that I've waved a white towel. I understand.
People love parlays.
You know, if you want to bet $100 on a game, and if you want to bet a $5 8-teamer, go ahead, have fun with it, enjoy it, as long as you don't get carried away with parlays. Everyone bets them. I understand.
About this story about tailing parlays that FanDuel said?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I talked about it yesterday on some show yesterday on my podcast.
So without specifically getting the exact wording right, what FanDuel came out and said, because they had this. By the way, Derek Stevens, who runs Circa, I was doing that part of that that Survivor doc, and right. Derek was outside the studio. He was doing a whole bunch of press the other morning, and Derek was talking about how they got killed on all these home run parlays.
Yeah.
That one, I think it was Monday, they got killed with it. Don't hold me to the day, but
this
I think this week.
Wow.
And
makes more sense to me now.
Yeah. But at FanDuel, they got taken for exponentially more than Derek did.
Yeah. 2.2 million.
Even though Derek was, you know, cursing about it, which was funny. But FanDuel said, now here's the deal. They added language into their rules after they got taken on these home run parlays. By the way, what I mean is, you know, Cal Raleigh hits a home run, Aaron Judge hits a home run, like two or three other, four other players hit a home run all in the same
parlay.
Wasn't
it seven of them?
I think it was something like that.
A 7-team home run parlay.
But FanDuel says, yeah, if they inserted language that basically said, if we determine that you're tailing somebody else's bet, basically, we reserve the right not to pay you.
My response, I'm going to read to you.
Please.
Here. I usually don't go after any individual sports books, and I'm not. All I'm saying is FanDuel executives should have spun this in a fun way.
Of course.
Instead of causing any controversy, and look at the bad press they got. The untold millions they make from these type of Telegram and chat rooms are immense and overcome the small losses 10 to 100 fold. It's another example of how people with college degrees that don't gamble and have no idea of the pulse of the gaming floor are making decisions for companies. And it's just, they could have spun in a fun way. You guys got us, you know, how about all the other ones that have lost over time and all these different Telegram and chat groups, you know, and I'm not just saying FanDuel, anyone that has those terms and conditions that say, it's the reason why I got thrown out of Caesars. I was following a same game parlay, which is normally a sucker bet, on an individual player that I seen on Twitter. I bet it. I won $1,200. My account was frozen.
But
I'm not allowed to play at Caesars because of that.
Between you and me, though, that rule can't hold up, can it?
They can do anything they want. I don't know. I'm like,
if gaming just backs them, that's the end of that.
I talk about this before. These sports books and casinos, even though they have gaming behind you or me, it doesn't matter. They get paid indirectly because of the job, the industry they're in from the casinos.
Bill Krakenberger.
And that's that.
Wisecracks, the name of the podcast with John Orlando at Bill Crackman with a K. Stormy is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.